I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. Girls, are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% off. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with the licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. The results that I have seen from GLP weight loss medications in my friends has been life-changing. Not only has their health improved tremendously from the weight loss, but their confidence has skyrocketed like never before. They look their best, they feel their best. I personally am not a candidate for GLP-1, but I'm always looking for ways to look and feel my best. And I personally have been on a health journey where I want to improve my health. So I'm using the NAD Plus nasal spray from Effecty, which in fact increases your metabolism and reduces inflammation, which is exactly what I've been struggling with as I've gotten older. So I finally found the solution. It also promotes healthy muscle function, which is so necessary for me as I just started getting back into the gym, and so many more benefits like slowing the aging process, boosting energy and mental clarity, and supporting healthier skin. NAD Plus is the body's ultimate recharge, and I love it. So, ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at effecty.com with code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's effecty.com, effecty.com, and use code FORTHEGIRLS to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no membership, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Settling is not an option for me.
Everything I desire is already mine.
What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking with Taylor Bird from Temptation Island. And this conversation is so good. If you girls missed it, last week I spoke with Ashley from Temptation Island. So make sure that you check out that interview too after you listen to this one. Finish up here, then head to last week's to listen to my conversation with Ashley. But now today we are diving into it with Taylor and getting to know so much more about her. I really wanted to get all the ins and outs because as I was watching the show, the interviews afterward where Taylor and the rest of the gang went on the Vile Files, I just felt like I could see so much of myself in her, and I wanted her to be able to share more about who she is rather than just like her dynamic with her ex. And let me tell you, she and I are truly cut from the same cloth. Now, of course, she is a lovely Southern darling and I am from New York. So we have different personalities in that regard, but we truly share so many of the same traits and morals. So we were just able to have such a real and honest chat with each other. So I loved it and I know you girls will love it too. We discuss being and feeling misunderstood and feeling unseen as the strong woman who always has to take care of herself and everyone else around her. We talk about sticking around, waiting for a man to change in a relationship when he's clearly not. We discuss romanticizing the wrong things, healing from a traumatic breakup, and so much more. I actually gave Taylor some advice in this episode, and Taylor, of course, gives you girls some advice in this episode. So there's just a lot to unpack here, and I highly suggest watching this one on either Spotify or YouTube. But of course, wherever you are listening or watching, please be sure to leave a rating and review. Not only does it help the show so much, but I would also just love to know what you girls think about this episode and if you loved it as much as I did. So if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave 5 stars and a review at the bottom of the podcast page. If you're listening or watching on Spotify, of course, be sure to leave 5 stars and a comment on this specific episode. Or if you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Now, let's get into the episode. Okay, everyone, please welcome Taylor to For the Girls. I'm so excited. Taylor, introduce yourself to the girls.
Thank you so much for having me, Victoria. My name is Taylor Bird. I was on Netflix's Temptation Island. But aside from that, I'm just a health and wellness advocate. Really happy to just be here and share my story.
Are you ever a health and wellness advocate? You look insane. Like I've, of course you looked amazing on the show, but then like, I look at your Instagram too and I'm like, what the hell? Like you like, what are you a trainer? Like what? I don't understand. How do you look like that?
Yes, you're so cute. So actually, after I got home from the island, I immediately started studying for my certification because if you're a girl, you know, after you get out of the breakup, you're like, okay, how can I boss up? Like it's time to move forward. So I got my certification and I've always been really into health and wellness, but honestly, during the pandemic, it really showed me how important it is. And so I have my undergrad in health, my master's in public health. So it was just something I'm always passionate about. But I was like, if I'm talking the talk to all these people, I need to walk the walk. What am I doing?
Oh my God, I love that. Oh my God. It's so true. No, seriously, I'm very impressed by you. Like, you know what? I liked you on the show. Like I did like you, but I liked you even more afterwards. Like when I started to look at you personally, like removed from the show, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, now I really like this girl. Like when I watched the interview, which I know it's traumatizing doing that interview, but when I watched it, like, I don't know, when you became more human to me, you know what I mean? Aside from the show.
Yeah. And that honestly means a lot more to me than anything else. Like the fact that you like me as a human outside of a glorified reality television situation. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's really important to be relatable and just, you know, I did kind of smear my business all over, you know, so I'm, you know, wanting to move forward and hopefully spread some positivity. So
100%, I'm here for it. Like I said, we're going to humanize you. So tell me yourself, like, what's your life like? I get that you're into the health and wellness. What is your life before, your life now? Were you always a relationship girl, like single life? Just fill me in on all that.
Yeah. So, I mean, dating in Nashville has not been the best ride. I'll just say that. And also, for 7 years, I had 2 jobs. I worked full-time at a university here in Tennessee, in which I still do full-time. But also I bartended on the weekends. And honestly, it allowed me to make some great moves for stability. One thing is a common theme in my life is growing up, I didn't have a lot of stability. Like my family isn't very close-knit. I only talk to my parents. And it was just a really difficult ride. My mom is bipolar. And so that was really difficult having my world kind of shaped, you know, with someone who has a mental health disability. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a wild ride, but I knew it was really important for me to take that back into my own hands. So as soon as I could, started working. I gave up a social life. I gave up a whole bunch of stuff. Like I missed birthday parties. I missed trips and girls things and all this stuff because I was like, no, I have to do this for myself. So I was able to buy my first house and really just grind. And I'm glad I did. But like I said, it's like I'm playing catch up on the back end. Now I'm like, oh, I'd love a community and I need support. And we're wired for human connection. So that's one of the things that's just been a little rougher on me, as you can see, especially getting out of the relationship and kind of talking openly about that. But my day-to-day here is, you know, just work and, you know, take care of myself. I'm a loner. I know I seem maybe a little extroverted on the show, but I will sit here for like 72 hours and be like, I need human interaction. I have not said one word out loud.
Oh my God, stop. I say that all the time.
Yes.
Right. That's so funny that you say that, because I swear that reminds me so much of myself. And honestly, watching the show and everything after, and like seeing more about you, I did see a lot of myself in you and vice versa. And I feel like hearing your backstory as well, like what you went through, like with your mom and just like your family dynamic and all of that, it makes so much sense. Like as we get older and like we could look back at our life, like from like, you know, pull back and look at it like an overview, it's like, okay, everything makes sense as to like why we become who we are and how we are. And so from watching the show, what I noticed in you is that like you are the strong one. And it's like, that gets exhausting. I can understand being the strong one who no one ever feels like they have to worry about. No one, like, just like Taylor's got it. She's the strong one. She's good. Everything, like everyone thinks that everything just rolls off your back because you take care of yourself. I would love for you to speak to, I guess, if you feel, what are things that you feel like people don't understand about you or know about you? Anything that gets misconstrued or misunderstood? Because I watched you try to like talk through your emotions more so on the podcast interview rather than on the show. And I'm like, yes, like this, like, I don't feel like you're given that same chance the way somebody else does who maybe cries more, for example.
1000%. I literally couldn't have said it better myself. And the fact that you can sit there and see that, I'm like, yes, somebody can see. I mean, to be honest, I am a very emotional person. I am extremely sensitive. My outer shell is for protection, like that, especially on the Vile Files podcast. Like everybody was like, you know, even Nick was like, where is this anger coming from? I'm like, I am so triggered right now. Like that is why I'm having this like kind of aggressive approach, because I don't feel safe, you know, and that's what happens. As soon as I, you know, don't feel okay or stable or safe, like my claws will come out, and not in an attacking way. It's just as a, like, just leave.
It's a shield.
Yes, 100%. So, and I've always been the strong one as far as like, oh, she's got it, she'll be okay, whatever, because I do take it. But I will go home and I will cry for 3 days straight. Like I will crash out, like 100%. But I mean, it's been a little bit better because therapy is huge. I'm a huge advocate of mental health and wellness. So I found a therapist I really like and I'm able to go to her, but it just sucks because time after time I'm being put in these positions where it's like, oh, she'll be okay, or this and the other, when I do want to just like kind of bawl my eyes out sometimes, but I just don't. It's not that I even like can't. I don't know. Something within me just really, there's a blockage there that I'm trying to figure out my own. And now I'm really happy that I'm adult and I can communicate that with people sometimes, like, hey, that really hurt my feelings. I used to never speak up for myself. So that's a huge thing that happened in the last, I would say like 2 years, is for me to be like, no, we're adults. Like we can communicate, like, even though it's uncomfortable. I used to run and like sweep shit under the rug and just keep it moving. And it would pile up to where I would have a mental breakdown. So,
yeah. And you would have your mental breakdowns, I'm assuming, in private, in silence. So no one even knew that that was what's going on. And that's why it's like, you know, of course, they always say, like, you never know what someone's going through. You know, be kind, because you never know what battle someone's dealing with. And it's like, I can so relate to that, because I think if you're not crying in front of people, if you're not emotionally distressed in front of people, no one checks in on you. Mm-hmm. They just assume you're okay. They assume that you got it. And like, I feel like I was able to see that so clearly, even in the tone that like your ex would speak to you, like just zero comfort, zero empathy. It's very like stone cold. And it's like, why? I feel like, you know, I watch all these shows and whatever, like, there's always each girl or guy as well, but everyone has a role, you know? It's like there's always the one girl that's like the strong one, the one that's the sensitive one, the one that's this and that. And it's like women actually can be all of the things. Like I can be strong and sensitive and have my feelings hurt at the same time.
Yes, 100%. I think that's honestly, it's such a great representation. And also just because a person wears it well doesn't mean it's not heavy.
Yeah.
I think that's like a huge quote that stuck with me because 100%, we go to the grocery store, you have no idea that person may have just like lost their partner or, right. you know, wrecked their car or has a family member in the hospital, whatever it may be. And just because like they say something that rubs you the wrong way or whatever, we take it so personally. When all along, it's like we're just dealing with these silent battles behind closed doors.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think because of that, because that's like, okay, you may see it as like a blockage. I think I see it more as like, it's just your natural tendency is to kind of like lean more into your masculine energy, which I'm very much like that. And especially, at least for myself, I would say, up until now, like now that I'm with someone whose masculine energy overpowers mine, because before then, and I would say a lot of the reason why I always stayed single was because a lot of men lack that. And you feel like I can't be more masculine than you. I can't get shit done more than you. I can't be more ambitious than you, more successful than you. Like, it's just like, it's never going to allow me to feel soft and feel in my feminine.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, I just put out that podcast episode, Your Partner is Your Mirror. And I was talking in that episode specifically about your situation. I witnessed two different men get two completely different versions of you. One being, like I said, your ex who just, he sees you in a way that's way more masculine because of that's what he's giving you, versus the other one, Yemen, who is like, you're so feminine and soft and like you have... Right. So you know what I'm talking about. So it's like you are exactly, you're going to reciprocate that. And like when you're with a guy who totally lacks masculine energy, I mean, I don't know anything about Tyler, but just from seeing it, I'm like, oh my Lord.
It's 100%.
When you're with a guy like that, you're going to be defensive. You're going to be more aggressive, as he called you, or abrasive, as he called you. Like all these names and terms, I'm like, oh my God, women are not just that for no reason. Like there's a reason why they're like that. So I would love for you to speak more specifically to your experience with just that, and masculine energy, feminine energy, these two guys, how they made you feel and your own perception of everything.
Yeah. And honestly, when I watched your video clip of you talking about the mirror and how you broke it down, to be honest, I didn't even realize that was happening until it came from you. And because Yemen did say a lot, like how he loves that feminine energy and that I'm soft and this and the other. And I'm still sitting here and I was like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't see it, but watching everything back, I'm like, wow, that is so true. When I am around somebody who takes the dominance, and not even dominance, just more the masculine, like leader, mm-hmm. you know, I can sit back and just kind of like enjoy the ride. But with Tyler, I was driving the boat because he wasn't capable of driving the boat. And he even said it multiple times. He's like, I'm just chilling. Like, I'm not really going anywhere. Like, you know, like in the direction that you want me to go, I'm just kind of like figuring it out. And like, he took that sabbatical for a year and a half, and, you know, and I was willing to stand behind him as long as I could until I started asking questions that made him uncomfortable, as far as like, hey, can I just get an action plan? Like, we don't have to do anything right now. Let's just hypothetically plan so I can at least have a little bit of security. Couldn't even do that. So of course I was over here just kind of being like, oh, just as a person who's hyper independent because of the lack of stability from her family, I don't have anybody that I can call and be like, hey, my rent is due. I have zero money. Or, hey, I don't have anything to eat. I will never forget freshman year in college. I had just moved out of my parents' house. Like, everything was so new. I had no money, like zero. And my friends had to feed me for a week. And I told myself that was the day I got my second bartending job, or like my second job other than working at the university. Because I was like, I'm never going to be in this position where I call my family. They don't have money. They're just in as worse of a place as I am. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm turning everywhere to my support system and they can't support me. So what does that mean for me? Like, I literally had nothing to eat. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is never going to be my life ever again. And I got it together. But Tyler made me feel that fight or flight a lot of the time, because I was having to also, like, plan for me, but plan for another person so he can kind of figure his stuff out, which, yes, I enabled. Yes, I supported. But you're not going to leave a partner just because they got fired from their job. Like, we're going to figure it out. Right. If you want to take a couple months and, like, figure it out, I'm going to stand behind you, because as a human being, that's what I feel like is love. It ended and crashed and burned in a really bad way. But, like, Yemen, on the other hand, has never made me doubt anything as far as, does he know where he's going? Is he a capable leader? Asking challenging questions. But to the fact of, he literally tells me to this day, because we're obviously still in communication, we're still, you know, just hanging out and seeing where things go. But he's like, I just want you to turn your brain off and relax. I have never been able to do that in 31 years of my life. So this man telling me that, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how does one go about that? So I'm figuring it out. And honestly, it's kind of an internal battle within myself right now, because I'm so used to a pattern and kind of a narrative in my brain that's been the same for 31 years. And then all of a sudden I meet somebody that's like, yeah, I got this. You're good. I'm like, is this true? Like, is this real? So,
yeah. And you can't help but have that little voice in the back of your head that's telling you, like, if you don't do this right, no one else is going to get it right. Like, so you have to do things because you can control it right. You could do it right. So, like, I can relate to that, where, like, you come from being, not to say like a control freak, but it's like, you know that if you do it, it'll get done. Whereas if you rely on someone else, it will not. And I've gone through that with, like, even business partners. And it's like, this is why I work by myself, because you can't rely on anybody. If you wait for someone to do it, it's just not going to get done. So imagine in your relationship, where you're supposed to feel the safest and most protected and most provided for. And it's just, you're like, your head is just above water. You're like, we can't move forward, because I feel like I have to pick up the both of us. And it's, I would imagine that it is not a comfortable place to be in your relationship. Even for me, like, I actually, so funny enough, I think I've been referring to your situation quite a lot. I'm not going to lie. I was referring to your situation because I actually had a guy comment asking for, like, advice, being like, how do I be more masculine? How do I make girls feel more feminine with me? And I was like, point blank.
Great question, first off. The fact that a man asked that.
I'm like, have, first of all, common fucking sense. Because not for nothing, what kept me single was the fact that I would have solutions to problems and guys would be like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. Like, and it's like, I'm sitting here thinking you're gonna protect me, you're gonna take care of me. Meanwhile, I went out with a guy once, and the day that, this is what I was saying in the TikTok answering to that guy, I had a date with a guy once, and we made plans the day that I had a party during the daytime. So we had, like, 7 o'clock reservations. And I was like, but I might be running late because I have something during the day, so I might have to push back. Long story short, around, like, 6 o'clock, I was like, hey, we gotta, you know, push back. Yeah. He writes back in, like, half of a second. He's like, just checked online, they don't have any other open reservations for the rest of the night. I'm like, so did you call the restaurant and see if you could push out our reservation back that we have? Yeah. No, I didn't. I'm like, well, that's what I would do, right? Common sense is you call, you say, I'm running late, I have a reservation, can I push it back?
And, like, yes.
Like, I wouldn't go on the website and see if, do you have an open reservation in the next 2 hours?
It's not going to happen. Yeah.
Right, right. My point is like, you could either be with a guy like that and then you're stressed every fucking day for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Or someone like Yemen, for example, where he literally says, it's okay if your brain is actually shut off when you're around me.
100%. But nobody talks about that difficulty, though, of actually shutting your brain off and knowing, like, I'm going through the process now. So maybe you can even, like, give some advice to this. how does one do that? Like, is it time? Because obviously you can reprogram your brain from all the negative experiences by replacing it with a positive one over and over and over. That's like retraining the pathways of the brain. So is that this basically that same case? It just has to happen multiple times for me to be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is like a real thing.
100%. It is their actions proving their words. It is experience. Now, you and him don't live near each other, right?
Yeah, long distance.
So you're not like going out on the weekends all the time and going on date nights. So in your case, it may be a little different. For me, with my fiance, in the very beginning of us dating, yes, I was exactly the same way that I was with everybody else, where it's like you're more so like ready to be on the defense. You're ready for them to disappoint you. You're ready for them to let you down. And when I would get in my head about things like that, and I would try to control the situation, or I would just self-sabotage and be in my own head, my thing that I kept telling myself to reprogram my brain was, he's never given you a reason to feel this way. He's never given you a reason to think like that. So just relax, like let him prove it. Yeah. And I would think he's going to be late. He's not going to be on time. He's going to cancel, or he's going to do this wrong. And he never did. He was always on time. He was never late. He never canceled. He always did the right thing. If he said he was going to take me somewhere, he took me. Like anything he said he was going to do, he did. And so it took, you know, a little while, a couple weeks, a couple months, whatever it was, of me telling myself, snap out of it. He never gave you a reason to think like that. He never gave you a reason to doubt him. So why are you doing it? And it's just because that defense mechanism, that protective shell of like, I'm so used to this. I'm so used to being disappointed. And then I'm like, but why do I feel that way with him? Just because somebody else did that in the past? That has nothing to do with him. He never did that. So I would say it takes experience with that person and them proving wrong. And then you just keep reprogramming yourself every single time that voice comes in your head. You're like, oh, he never made you think like that. So don't think like that, you know? Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's so mature and incredible that you can like thought stop in that way and say, hey, this is coming from your past, not your present.
Like, yep.
To know that those thoughts creeping in, those negative thoughts, where they're coming from, the root of it, I think that's the very first step, you know, to acknowledging a pattern or whatever it may be for you to change that trajectory. Yeah.
All you can do is let people prove themselves to you and show you who they are. Because in due time, everyone shows you who they are. You know, like people can only keep up with a facade for so long, and they can only wear a mask for so long until they finally take the mask off. Like, so people, I always say, let people show you who they are. And when they show you their true colors, don't try to repaint them. Just see them for who they are. Then that's that.
Period. I feel like in a past relationship, I saw, you know, I'm really big on, oh, we're human. We all make mistakes, especially just my mom and everything like that. You know, people have bad days, and especially if mental health is involved and there's a disorder there, you kind of get used to just kind of letting things slide and whatever it may be. And I saw that I was doing that a lot in my current relationship, or excuse me, my past relationship. And that just, we arrived at the same thing every time, and I cannot figure out why, but I wasn't acknowledging the fact that he's shown me exactly who he is. And I'm over here thinking about the potential, or, you know, we're all individuals and we can figure it out, and just a little more grace or whatever it may be. And that just led me down a path that I ended up down.
Right. Well, I'd actually love for you to keep talking on that point, because I'd love for you to share, like, what if there even was a consciousness? I don't know if this was like a subconscious thing or a conscious decision. What made you stay in a relationship for a year past, you know, your expiration date, really, with someone knowing that you weren't getting your standards met? You weren't really getting what you want.
Yeah, I think honestly, I don't really know how to talk about this, because my therapist and my parents think that I was low-key brainwashed. Like, there was a narrative that was enforced for a year plus before, you know, we started going downhill, that I was just kind of a bad person, that I, you know, from all of my traumatic past experiences and, you know, how hard my family is and everything like that, that I wasn't necessarily deserving of someone who is supportive and kind and whatever. And that sounds really, really harsh. And obviously those words weren't directly said to me, but it was through the actions of the not showing up, not feeling safe, being cheated on multiple times. And honestly, when the Bio Files podcast came out and his ex-wife got on TikTok and said her piece, she literally FaceTimed me and said that I was cheated on more times than I even knew. So this was all information of just 2.5 weeks ago. And I'm like, wow, this is
wait,
a lot.
Wait, elaborate on that.
Yes.
Tyler's ex-wife called you?
Yes.
Okay.
And we FaceTimed and she just kind of went down a rabbit hole. First off, because I saw her video of her saying like, yeah, she was cheated on a whole bunch and all this stuff. So that's why we reached out and connected. And I was like, girl, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't know all this stuff happened. And she was like, yeah. And I hate to tell you, but you were too. And supposedly she was logged into his Gmail account for a couple of months, like past the divorce, when him and I like started dating. And there was a bunch of things that she found in his email account. So it is what it is. We're at least we're not in that situation anymore. But it just goes to show you that it's just like, no matter what you think, I didn't really have a grasp on what was real, you know, because like, yes, his words said one thing and sometimes his actions would say the same. And I just longed for human connection, love, security, safety, because these are things that I didn't have, you know, that my family didn't necessarily give me. So that's why I fall into these relationships with these kind of people who are just kind of lost, because I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of lost, but I have a compass in a way though, because my career is amazing and I bought a house. And it's like, when I zoom out and look at this perspective, I'm like, what in the heck is this? Life is just really complicated. But I think to go back to your original question, it was just this narrative that was being fed to me that like, yeah, you have a lot of problems, like, and that doesn't make you worthy of like a necessarily 100% healthy relationship where you could have it all. So that's why I felt like Tyler was a good match, because like, even though, yes, he got out of a divorce, he still like had something about him that made me feel like it was a match there. Like, yes, he's not perfect and I'm not perfect either. So we can work on each other together. And that's where I thought we were until obviously all these things started happening and he started hurting me more. And I was like, oh. And then people started telling me, even my parents, like, I think he's brainwashing you. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. And then I started to pick up on things as we went throughout the relationship. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. And so many times you arrive at the same conclusion and then the camel, straw breaks the camel's back. So that's, yeah.
Were you aware of cheating throughout your relationship? I don't remember if cheating was even brought up in any of this stuff. So I can't remember that.
When we were in an official relationship when he cheated the first time, when I was in Belize, I was on a work trip and I received a video of him kissing a girl at a bar.
Yes, you said this in the interview. Okay.
Yes. And legitimately my thought process behind that and why like things like rekindled after the fact is I was like, he's been in a marriage for 5.5 years. He's only been with one partner, his wife, his whole life. He has never drunkenly kissed a girl at a bar. He's never gone out and like had this fun to date around. That was the whole reason why we went on Temptation Island. We agreed that he needed to see the sights and then choose me consciously to move forward. And I was fine doing that. I'm willing to risk whatever because I do want to feel chosen at the end of the day. And so that's why we rekindled afterwards, because I was like, it is a kiss. It's not like you fucked the girl. It's not like you did anything absolutely horrible. Yes, that hurts. And yes, you know, we had to get through some stuff. We chose to go on a break afterwards and all that stuff. But, you know, I was willing to forgive this one little blip because of the fact that he's only been with one person his entire life. So I was like, okay, whatever. But I saw that I gave the inch and then the mile was taken shortly after that. So yeah.
100%. Do you feel like you, I think it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's to say that it's like, I would never, ever, ever want to sit here and say that you lack self-respect. I would never say that. But do you think that there was a lack of something that you felt like it's not a big deal if, you know, I don't know exactly how I want to word this, because where what you're saying to me right now is like, you'd have to kill me for me to accept my man kissing another, you know what I mean? So it's like, what do you feel like you were maybe going through that allowed you to say like, I'll be the chill girl and let him do that? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, 1000%. And I do feel like it was a huge lack of self-confidence on my part. A lack of self-respect, you know, arguably. I haven't ever until lately thought that I was really worthy of anything less than dysfunctional. You know, I got put into a family that was pretty dysfunctional. You know, people don't necessarily show up for me. I don't have really a support system. And I just thought it was just one of those things that, you know, he's just proving every relationship right. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my pattern in my life. People fail me. People disappoint me. I guess this is just the quality of relationship that I'm.
It was like a limiting belief of like, this is just how the cards are dealt for me. This is just like what I deal with. And I don't have a choice around that.
Yeah. 1000%.
Yeah. Cause no, it's not to say like you lack self-respect, but there's something there that when you get to a point where you kind of just, I think, feel defeated of just like, well, at least I have a boyfriend. So like, I don't have to go be sick. Like, at least I have somebody, you know?
Yeah. And I'll never forget the conversation that we had when I came back home and like we talked in person about the video. Like, I was so gutted and he literally looked me dead in my eyes. I can't, like, thinking about this, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? But he said he was filling the void of his ex-wife with me all along. And that's why we decided to go on the break, is because he was like, I have a lot to figure out. You know, clearly I made this mistake, whatever. And then he was the catalyst of the break. I'm like, I should have enough confidence and strength and knowledge in myself that I deserve better, that I should have walked the F away. But instead, I was sitting there sobbing like, you don't want me back? I'm like, girl, get a grip.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com. Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings. They're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Clubs and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself, because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross. We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are just hard to stick with. Taking shots of apple cider vinegar? No thanks. Swallowing giant vitamins? Also not for me. But Goli Nutrition makes wellness easy and delicious with their chewable gummies. From apple cider vinegar for digestion support to ashwagandha for stress relief, Goli's gummies fit effortlessly into your routine. They're made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins to help you feel your best every day. I personally love their apple cider vinegar gummies. They are so good. If someone told me they were candy, I would believe them. Yes, apple cider vinegar. It has been used for centuries as a traditional remedy for digestion and gut health, but thanks to Goli, now they're in convenient gummy form, along with so many gummies for every goal that are made with a formula for everybody and every lifestyle. They're vegan, gluten-free, gelatin-free, and made in the USA with organic ingredients and no artificial nonsense. So head to Goli.com now and get America's number one ashwagandha and apple cider vinegar gummies at an exclusive 42% off. Give them a try, risk-free, backed by our money-back guarantee, because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goli.com today. I know one of you girls can relate to this, so we got to talk about it. You know when you feel like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, and then you stress because you don't know what you're doing wrong? Well, what I've learned is that it's not you at all, because a lot of these issues are tied to hormone imbalances, and then the stress just makes it worse because it messes with your hormones even more. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So of course, I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some insight into what might be happening with my hormones, like potentially an overload of estrogen, which can affect me in all kinds of ways. So it recommended I take Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, anxiety, your cycle, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I noticed such a difference. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. And taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's about investing in your long-term health. So whether you're recommended Hormone Harmony like I was, or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz will help guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
Yeah, but that is a result of manipulation, because obviously something was done there that made you feel I don't know whether it's like less than him, as if like you had him on a pedestal where I think that you may have felt like, this is a good thing that I have. I don't want to ruin this thing. Like, I want to keep this thing. So like, even if he's feeling that way, like I want to hold on to that thing.
Yeah. And 1000%. And I feel like since he was married, he knew how to show up for a partner. And so those first, you know, couple of months we were together, it was unlike anything I had ever experienced before. Like this man, I literally had written in my journal. I was like, I remember this was probably January and everything that went down happened, I think, at the end of February. I was like, is this too soon? I don't know. But like, I want this. Like, yeah. I don't understand how the universe works, how, you know, the Lord works, whatever. But these doors are opening and it feels right. So I'm going to keep walking through them. And I'm like, girl, what were you smoking?
The door was smacking me in the face and I just kept walking through it.
Like every time. But I mean, honestly, it's a learning lesson and I'm very thankful for it because, you know, it led me here. It led me to share my story and it's relatable and all that good stuff. So I don't want to sit here and just be like, bad, bad, bad.
No, I get that.
You know, yeah.
But you're also like still traumatized right now. So you're like kind of just letting it out.
Yeah. And the fact that I still live in the same city, like very small town that him and his new girlfriend live in. I need to get the F out of Dodge. Like
you can't avoid it.
Yeah. I'm just, it's such a small town here and everybody knows everybody. So it's just been a very weird situation. And, you know, coming home from the island, I haven't really talked about this, but I started seeing someone for 5.5 months coming home from the island, aside from Yemen, because when we got home, Yemen and I tried. Like, he had a flight booked here to Nashville, and I just told him, I was like, I can't do it. Like,
yeah.
I am so emotionally messed up from this situation. I was crying all the time. Like, it was just not a good situation to start something new. Mm-hmm. And I was very thankful that he was like, okay, take your time, call me when you're ready, whatever. And we kept in touch here and there, but then I wanted to give myself at least 3 or 4 months of like not talking to anybody. And so I met somebody at the end of this time and he was an angel, like literally sent from heaven. So great. But our demise was that he lived in an apartment building that Tyler's new girlfriend moved into. And so I would literally like be trying to move on with my life and then like go to the elevator and run into her and Tyler. And I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I cannot do this. And then him and I like Costco for all things. Like I've never been to Costco, but he had a membership and we would be in Costco with our little buggy doing our like Sunday homie stuff. Who do I see going down the aisle? I'm like, literally even his mom came into town. His mom was from Memphis, drove up. We went to the mall. We were literally in the mall, me, him, and his mom, and walking towards us, Tyler and Lauren. I'm like, this is a sick joke. It's just a sick joke.
Is moving like an option? Is it on the horizon or?
Yeah. So I've been thinking about it. I definitely think that that would be very healthy and positive. So I'm thinking about it, but the big thing is I don't want to walk away from my job at my university that I've been with for 8 years until I have a steady stream of income doing something like I know people can jump and take risk all day long. I'm not that big of a risk taker just because of, you know, obviously what I've shared previously. I just don't have a safety net. And obviously, like I've saved a bunch of money and that's all great, fine and dandy. But I want to have something coming in where I don't have to worry. So I know I could probably easily get a job in one of the few cities I'm looking at and that's all doable. But I think my life is in such a influx right now, kind of it ebbs and flows that I'm like, this is my one constant. I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
So I do think that in the coming months, there will be a change.
Yeah.
I think that'd
it's kind of like symbolic. I feel like your career in a way is like the most secure thing that you like you just said, you've had it steady for 8 years. It's you're successful, you love it, whatever. It's like that's like your that has been your safety net probably the longest that you've had of all your, you know, other things that you have going on.
1000%. And they've been with me through all of these different experiences. And my boss, like, is my second mom. She took a chance on me. I was an intern when I first started working there, and she wrote a position for me to have a part-time job after that. 2 years passed, she offered me a full-time position, and I've done it ever since. So it would be so hard leaving her, but she knows the baby bird's got to fly the nest sometimes. Like, yeah. We have conversations like this, and she knows it's probably coming within the next year.
Okay. So, yeah. That's good. That's good. So speaking of, you know, risk takers, clearly we saw someone who believes that they are quite the risk taker with your ex. And so with that, Mike, I have a question about that, because I understand that you were pushing him, or as he says, pushing him too much and like all that. But I also feel like at the same time, you, in my opinion, were quite easy on him. Like, I feel like you, like, he could say all he wants that you were constantly bringing it up, but it's like, well, yeah, when a year goes by and you're still without a job, mm-hmm. what are you going to do? So my question is, because I view it completely opposite than everybody else, I believe you were very easy on him. So do you think that you were easy on him and holding back because of, like, you didn't want to offend him? It felt maybe too taboo to be like, cause money, like, finances is like, that's a hard thing to talk about. So like, yeah. Do you feel like that was something that you kind of held back on? Like, you couldn't necessarily say to him like, well, like, you need to figure it out. Like, yeah.
I would say I was 50-50. He was a very unapproachable person at times, and I had to word things in a certain way. And I think that's one of the, like, brainwashing things that I'm talking about.
Right.
If I wanted an outcome to be positive, if I wanted a mature conversation, and for him, you know I shut down emotionally for sure. And he said that on the podcast, which is so true. I think he did the same a lot of the times, but when it was things that were uncomfy. And everybody's entitled to their own feelings, but I didn't want to have to walk on eggshells with my partner. If I wanted to sit down, and as an Aries, a fire sign, just a very blunt individual, I don't want to sit here and be like, use the sandwich method, compliment what I'm really.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I always say that.
Yes, but it's true. And I mean, does work, especially with people that you may not know, when you do want to, you know, be an empath. But like, we were together for 2.5 years. I should be able to sit down on the couch and be like, hey, babe, what's the plan?
Right.
Period, point blank. And that's kind of how I knew that we were in for a demise, because the fact that we can't even have any sort of, every time I bring it up, it's nope. We're not talking about that.
Or, very defensive.
Yes, extremely defensive. And then that causes me to get defensive, because I'm like, why can't we? Like, you could ease all of my troubles with just a conversation. And I think, too, the answer that he was going to give me, he knew that that wasn't the answer that I wanted, because the answer was, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to go back and work right now. And I'm just like, like, what could even be the conversation if that person just is literally like, yeah, no.
Right. I think, because ultimately the only appropriate response on your end to that would be like, okay, well then we have to break up, because like, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
And so you both probably didn't really want to walk away from the relationship. So he held back, which then you couldn't really do anything with that, because you just kind of were waiting around. Yeah. For something to give, since he wasn't giving anything. And that's, I think that that's how a lot of unhealthy relationships go way beyond their expiration date, like I said before, because you're not having the open and honest conversation. So you're both kind of in that limbo place of like, I really don't know. And then you just like stick around because you're like, I really don't know. So stay tuned. We'll find out.
Yeah. And then you form a trauma bond at that point.
Yeah. Like,
because both of you are in this weird scenario, and like, we're just kind of sitting here twiddling our thumbs. And I'm not saying that every single thing needs to be planned down to a T, but once you're with somebody for multiple years, I do feel like we're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
We're in our 30s.
Yeah, you need to know where this is going.
Exactly. You know, and it would have saved a lot of heartbreak. But one thing that is undeniable with Tyler and I is we did have that chemistry. We did have that fire. Even if we broke up, this man would literally show up at my doorstep. Like, I could block him on all social media, block his number, whatever. That man was knocking on my door. And if I didn't answer, he'd come back. You know, it was a Monday thing for some reason. Every Monday, we were broken up, that man would knock on my door. And in a weird way, I'm like, and this is also what mental health issues do I have? Because I'm like, it's so endearing.
This is what they do in the rom-coms.
Right. He came to my doorstep. You know, I'm like, oh God.
But. We romanticize. I actually just said this on the interview with Ashley. Like, we romanticize those grand gestures, and then they tend to outweigh the red flags because it's like, oh, but this big, grand, amazing romantic thing that you just did made me forget all about the other shit. Made me forget about the reason why this grand gesture is happening in the first place. It's like, oh, he got me this big bouquet of flowers. Why? Because he slept with somebody else. Like, oh, that's why I forgot about that.
Yeah. So, our brain is not trained to remember the bad things. It's trained to protect itself. And so.
Now that you're removed from that, like, okay, you're done with that relationship. You're done with waiting around for someone to change and, you know, the whole thing. What advice would you have for girls in those shoes that are in the relationship still? Like, they're still in the shoes you were in and they're still waiting for, you know, the other shoe to drop. They're waiting for something to change.
Yeah. I would say stop denying the truths that you feel in your gut. Like, my gut was alarming and my intuition off the charts, but I just kept talking myself back into it and being with a master manipulator that, you know, if you openly want to be vulnerable with them and say, hey, like, I'm not feeling really good about this or whatever, they take that and spin it. And, you know, so I think number one, I mean, going to therapy or getting an unbiased outside opinion honestly helps a lot. Not friends, not family, definitely an unbiased outsider. And then just reconnect with yourself and listen to what you have in your heart. But also, and I know this may be a little contradicting, you have to ride the roller coaster until you are ready to get off. You have to take that man back 5, 6, 7, 8 times until you're done, because you'll sit there and say, what if, what if, what if, what if? And especially if you have years and you have a house and you have things that are intertwined, it's not easy. So for me, it was always the what if. And I wouldn't have ever successfully walked away if I didn't see it through. And I know it sucks, but like, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. Like, you can sit there all day and say you're in an abusive relationship, he's a manipulator, he's a bad guy, because that's exactly what my entire family said this entire time. But I didn't see it. I was like, oh no, maybe his approach is just different, or his perspective is just different, and he came from a different background, so that doesn't make him bad. Like, I started making excuses for him on that behalf.
Yeah, justifying it.
Yes, the justification was through the roof. So I think partnered with an unbiased opinion, trying to listen to your gut, and also knowing that, hey, we're just going to give it a college try. But literally, I'm just so blessed and so grateful that I do not have a kid with this man. I did not get married to this man. At least it was just a relationship that was easy to kind of unveil. But yeah, I would say those three things. And I know the third one isn't great advice, but it's just true.
No,
I see
it is.
Many of my girlfriends too that are in bad relationships. They have to go back as many times as they need to, because I can sit here and tell you not to go back a million times.
It's so true. It is good advice, because you know what? It's real. It's real and it's realistic, because your friends can't convince you to dead and gone a relationship. Your friends can maybe convince you, block him, block him, block him, but they're not going to make you not sit up at night thinking about him. Like, you could have him blocked all you want, and you and your girls can go out and party and be single, but then you could still go home and still have it in your mind. Like, who's he? What if he's with someone else right now? And now you're like, you know, all the things that go through your head. And then you want to unblock, and then you want to see what he's doing. Then you're going to call him. Like, no one can get in your head and like change the trajectory of what actually happens next. So I think that's actually, it's really good that you said that, because I don't think anyone ever says that. They give you like, here's the tangible ways to get out of it. But no one's like, go back 5 times until you're finally fucking exhausted.
Yes. Yes.
Until the wheels fall off.
Yeah. honestly. And it will come. Like, if that person is not meant for you, you will eventually, hopefully, get there. I mean, I know a lot of people that are in crazy relationships, but like, I am a firm believer, if it's meant for me, it'll happen. If it's not meant for me, it'll find its way out. Even though it is very hurtful and whatever you need to go through, I always feel like the universe has our back. I'm really big on energies and vibrations and everything like that. If we are aligned with our higher self and our higher being, I'm like, then you can't question it. Like, yes, when Temptation Island came out, I'm like, this is batshit crazy, and I really don't think we should do it. And then after multiple conversations, whatever, I'm like, okay, this happened for a reason. Like, this is here as an opportunity for us to figure it out. And so that's what we're going to do. So,
You know, I kind of want to backtrack for a second, just because it just dawned on me that you, when you were talking about, you know, how he would show up at your door and stuff, you were like, we had undeniable chemistry. And you kind of talked a little bit as to how those grand gestures and the chemistry and all that made you kind of stick around. I'm curious, because one thing that I talk about a lot is like chemistry and compatibility being two different things that people prioritize differently. For me, compatibility was always number one, but for other people, chemistry was always number one. Yeah. So what's like your perspective on that?
Hard, because you're talking for like to a retired toxic person over here. Because, hey, if the chemistry was off the charts, baby, and we were not compatible, I did not care. I wanted to feel like I just wanted to get inside of your skin. And that's probably not a good thing to say. But like, that fiery personality, I have to feel that chemistry with somebody, especially if I'm going to wake up to you every single day for the rest of the days. But now I see it is not feasible. Because the chemistry can die out sometimes, and you have to like reignite the flame and keep things interesting and explore. And because people change, people go through seasons. So now I feel like going on Temptation Island has showed me that it's more about the compatibility.
Yeah.
Because it's just like looks. Like, you can be attracted to somebody all day long, but like when we're 60 years old with rocking chairs, you know, like we're not going to be cute anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you have to build that foundation, and the foundation starts with compatibility.
Yeah. So, well, the good news is, from somebody who did find their person, you can have both. You can have chemistry and compatibility. So, phew, right. The good news is that you can have both. But for me, like, yeah, there were guys that when I was single that I was extremely attracted to. And if you're talking to them, you just feel that like, there's like, as if there's a fire between you, like you said, fire. Like, there's just like a gravitational pull, a magnet between you. And you're like, oh my God. But at the end of the day, like, that could have never been my person. And so you could feel that all day long with someone, and you could hook up and you could have fun and whatever, but that it will eventually run its course if that lack of compatibility is there. And that's my take on it. There are people who have completely different perceptions that are like, you don't have to be compatible at all. I can't imagine living with someone, marrying someone, having kids with someone that I am not compatible with.
Right.
I couldn't, that's not even a thought in my mind. And I will say that, like, from what the day that I met my fiance, like, I can remember our first date as if it was yesterday. It felt like the things that we were saying to each other and how compatible we were felt like I knew him forever. It was crazy that we didn't know each other beforehand, because similar to you, we are from a very small place. So like, but we have an age gap. So like, it makes sense why we didn't meet, but it was crazy that we didn't, because it felt like someone I knew forever. And there was that, like, the eye contact, the sexual chemistry, like everything was there. So it was like, anyone who makes you think you have to choose one over the other is wrong. But I will say that the compatibility has to be the priority, because that's what'll go the distance. The chemistry, you know,
comes and
goes. You could have chemistry with anybody. You could flirt with the delivery guy. You could flirt with someone at the grocery store. Like, chemistry can be so surface level, you know? So like,
Because it's based on attraction.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Even if you can't understand why, you're like, this, there's been guys that I'm like, he's fucking ugly. I don't even know why I'm so attracted to this. You know what I mean? Like, there's just those feelings, but like, that's just hormones. Like, it just comes and goes.
Am I ovulating right now? Is that what? Yes.
The amount of times that we look back, like I can look back on every guy that I had chemistry with and liked when I was 21, 22, 23. And now I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like,
yes. The rose-colored glasses were on and popping for sure.
They certainly were. The other thing that I wanted to ask you was because you were talking about how like being in tune with your, you know, highest self and whatnot. I'm curious to know how your self-esteem as a whole has improved throughout this process, because I personally feel like, I know that we said maybe there was a little lacking in the self department, but I felt like you really embodied a lot of self-love on the show, especially down to the end, like leaving, you know, on your own. Like, I feel like you really did choose yourself first, but I would imagine that internally there was also a struggle. So I'm curious, like, what your relationship with yourself and stepping into your highest self has looked like throughout this experience.
Yeah, great question. I feel like I am more myself than I ever have been in my entire life. I definitely was lacking a lot going into Temptation Island, and it was hard to reflect back, obviously, like coming home and like doing the whole thing, switching gyms, giving him his stuff back, this, that, and the other. Really took a toll. And so I would say it ebbed and flowed for a while, but now I feel like, especially since the show was released literally a month ago, almost to the day, hearing the stories from the women who have reached out. And I received a DM 2 days ago. I sat in my car and I cried when I read it, because this girl was like, you are the embodiment of what I would want my daughter to be, to aww, do, to speak. I'm like, the fact that people could see that on a reality television show and feel compelled to send me a message saying that means the absolute world. And so I think in a weird way, you guys, like the people who are listening, the people who are watching, they're giving me the love and support that I need to actually believe it. I know I wish I was that type of person that could just create my own reality in my head and just be like, oh, I'm the shit. I'm worth it all. I'm a 10 out of 10. I'm that girl, whatever. I'm not. I can't just pull that out of thin air and whatever. But like the fact that I'm getting so much support and love, I'm like, I am worthy. The fact that other people can see this, and yes, I mean, we're getting kind of into the external validation portion of things, but like I can have all the internal validation, but hearing it from somebody else, they can see down to the nuts and bolts of my story and how it was relatable. I think that honestly has compelled me to move forward in this journey with myself even more and know that I am worthy. I think it's just really hard going through friendships, relationships, family dynamics, and like all of them kind of be the same way in the same narrative. And I'm not even putting it on other people, because clearly I'm attracted to a certain type of person. I mean, this is some social responsibility here that's like, look in the mirror, maybe you're the pattern and you need to switch it up and whatever. But I think that to answer the question, I feel more like myself than I ever have. It genuinely feels like my dreams are coming true. And I know I'm worthy of everything, but I just can't wait to make a family and a community, a support system, and have friends that can help show me that. I think I can believe it all day long, but I do want people in my corner that believe that for me. And I think a lot of the people that I've been in my life did not make me feel like I was worthy of more. So I think that's what I'm doing right now. I'm focusing on building a healthy community. And if a relationship comes from that, amazing, fine and dandy. I'm open for it. But at the same time, I think that I'm continuing to choose myself and show up for myself right now.
I love that. You're a good speech giver, because you did that on the show too at the end. Oh, and he was like, I wish that I thought of making my notes as well. And I'm like, yeah, well, you fucking didn't, because you're not a good speech giver. So, and you just did one now. And then like, it just kind of reminded me of that too. I remember like watching it and you being like, sure, I will go. And you're like reading it. And he's like, well, I didn't think of that. And I'm like, I died. Like, You made me laugh a lot. And you were, it's funny because you weren't trying to be funny. Like, you were dead serious pulling out your notes and like reading the note. And I'm fucking cracking up. Meanwhile, you're like being super vulnerable and serious. And I'm like laughing my ass off because it was just so, it was so real. I'm like, that would be me. Me and my notes app, like when I'm arguing with someone and I'm like typing the novels.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had a heart rate monitor because like that, the bonfire, it was just.
You know what though? Like listening to what you're saying, like, yes, I agree. You don't want to get too much into like, okay, then everything becomes about external validation. But mm-hmm. I think that going on Temptation Island was like literally the best thing that could have ever happened in your life. Because I feel like, you're going to be proven so much now, whether it is from Yemen or another guy or just like the girls that follow you, that like stability and like healthy relationships and friendships, they exist. And I think sometimes you have to go through like the literal rock bottom just to get to that light at the end of the tunnel and have it be proven to you. Because it's one thing to hear about these healthy relationships. Someone could tell you, oh yeah, like when I was single forever. So like, girl, at any time that I talk about being single and wanting to meet somebody, wanting to get married, whatever, what does everyone say? Oh, it'll happen when you stop looking. It'll happen when you... And I'm like, oh my God, everyone shut the fuck up. Like, it gets exhausting hearing the things. And it's like, sure, everyone can tell you that these things exist and everyone can say everything. But it's not until it's proven to you that you will actually believe it for yourself. So I feel like, yes, sure, there's the territory of like, you don't want to be too reliant on external validation, but all of that validation from the guys, from the girls, from friends, whatever, is proof that these things exist, these healthy relationships and people exist. And I feel like that's really going to be what you take away from the show.
Yes, 100%. I couldn't have said it better myself. There was a point in the show that it did get cut out, but at a bonfire, I was telling Mark that I feel like healthy relationships and things like that, it's like fairy dust and pipe dreams. Like, yeah. I've never experienced it before. There's really no relationship in my life that I envy. You know, my parents, they did break up for a little while, but they got back together and stuff like that. So I do idolize the fact that they were able to like weather the storm and find their way back to each other, because they are genuinely one human. Like, both of them cannot survive without the other. And I think that's beautiful, but I don't necessarily want to weather the storm. I don't want to have to go through all these trials and tribulations just to like get back together with somebody. You know, I just want something honest and healthy, and I know it's not going to be easy. I definitely know that. And it's not, you know, necessarily going to be 100% positive all the time either. Pete, we're two individuals trying to become one. So that's going to be a task, but I'm trying my hardest to keep hope that it's out there and it'll find me and whatever it may be. Yemen is honestly really great, but the long distance, I am a needy person. That's one thing that I'm not going to do in my next relationship is like, oh, I can try to make it work. No, like I want my needs met, period. So we'll see what happens. Period. I think I'm just to the fact where like, I don't want to keep opening my heart in a way. And I know that sounds like a little negative or like pessimistic, but I just don't want to really hurt anymore. And I know you need to be open to receiving things and all that stuff. I think maybe I just want to take a step back and like really care for myself before putting myself out there. But it's like, how do you do that if you do feel lonely? And like we started the podcast, I was sitting here for 3 days not saying a word to a human. I'm like, I don't want that either. So how can I honor both sides? It's a very different balance.
If anyone can resonate, it's me, because I lived alone. I am, you know, I just always was like a huge homebody. Like I lived in a really fun city too. And I like, it didn't even matter because I wouldn't even go out. Like I didn't even leave the house. So it's like, yeah, I live in a fun city and I also don't experience anything about it. So, you know, I felt that way too, where one thing that I like tend to give advice to single girls on is like, don't force yourself to go out just in hopes of meeting somebody, because that's not the energy you want to go out with. Like there were times where I was single and like, yeah, I wanted to meet someone. So even if I didn't like want to go to a certain place or I didn't even want to go out, I would tell myself I have to, because what if there's guys and what if I can meet someone? And like, I never met anyone in those circumstances, because it wasn't genuine. It was me just like trying to like force myself. And then I did the dating apps, even though I didn't like them. And I had that gut feeling, I'm not going to meet my guy on a dating app. I knew I wasn't going to, but I kept doing it. I kept being there. And what happened? Didn't meet my guy on there. We got set up. So all the ways that I kept trying to put myself out there that didn't feel genuine to me, it didn't get me anywhere. So like, don't do anything that doesn't feel genuine to you and for you. And then yes, you will meet him. I got set up by a complete stranger, a girl that I never even met before. And so like, that just goes to show that like, it'll happen and you don't have to force yourself to do shit that like doesn't feel right for you.
Right, right. I think that's beautiful.
Thanks. Most definitely. Sorry, I'm like talking about myself because I feel like I'm talking to a friend right now. Like, so I'm just like being like very open. My listeners are going to be like, I've heard this story, Victoria, 500 fucking times. Stop saying it.
No, perfect. I honestly feel the same way. I'm like, are we in an interview? I'm just like catching up with my long distance bestie.
I know. We're having just like a genuine conversation. So we will wrap up the interview then. So then maybe when we stop recording, we can start bullshitting even a little bit more. But to wrap this up, what would be your final piece of advice or words of wisdom for girls who were or are in your shoes? Like anything that you've gone through, whether it be during the relationship or going through a pretty traumatic breakup and just staying strong, just anything that you feel like the girls need to hear.
I honestly just want to encourage anybody who's in similar shoes to just have faith that it'll get better. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but when you're in the thick of it, it literally feels like you're dying and you want to run from those emotions so much, whether that's, you know, being around other people or going out partying or whatever it may be. I think I've done the most growth by myself facing it because the only way you get honestly past an emotion is letting it go through you. And I know it sucks to sit with. And still to this day, I'll sit here and be like, oh my gosh, like I can't do this anymore, you know, whatever, especially if I've had a long day and like I'm not rested or whatever. But I'll sit here and just be like, just have the emotion, just journal it. Honestly, journaling's been a huge, huge help just to get it out and just see it on paper so it's not stuck up in your head and you're ruminating all the time. But like I said earlier, I think just getting through it, but also honoring yourself, knowing that if you do need to go back, if you do need to do something, you just got to do it just so you can to see it through because you will not be at peace. You will never be on the other side and at peace if you don't. So yeah.
I love that. I think it is so wise. And honestly, I know that so many girls who have watched the show are looking up to you because I think that you're just like, you're real, you're vulnerable, you're honest, and you're so strong, which I know gets exhausting to hear. Like no one wants to just like be strong all the time. At some point you're going to meet someone who allows you to stop being so strong, but yeah, you are. And like, you should be so proud of that. Cause I know that you've been through a lot and a lot of people are worse for those reasons, but you, I think that it's made you an immaculate person. So I think that that is amazing. So I loved having you on. I loved talking with you. Where can everyone connect with you? And do you have anything coming out that they could look forward to?
You're the best. First off, thank you for having me. I love podcasts like this. This is my first one and I don't want to do any more that involve crazy people. But yes, thank you so much for having me on in this opportunity. You guys can find me on Instagram. It's just at Christina Taylor. I have my website coming out soon. I think I'm going to be dropping maybe some fitness programs or meal plans. So definitely stay tuned. We're working hard on that. So
amazing. Can't wait to see it.
Thank you.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.